Okay, today is the 29th of March, 2015, and joined us for the first service of the Wetherby House Church. It's a little delayed today. We went to St. Joe this morning, and there's a lot going on in the world right now. It seems like if there are any true Bible-believing Christians that are even remotely observing Facebook, you can tell that there's a spiritual warfare going on Facebook. For the truth of God's Word, there are people that will do anything they can in any manner, fashion, or form to twist God's Word. Anyway, we've had several selections that have been given to us this morning, or this afternoon. First one is Psalm 22G, page 31, in the Psalter. Page 31, Psalm 22G.
Fools that roam the wild, my cruel foes about me from. They bellow and they compass me like bulls of Bashan, fierce and strong. Those open wide their mouths to slay, like lions roaring for their prey. My life like water is poured out, my bones every joint apart. Like crackling pots my strength is dried, in me like melted wax my heart. My tongue and jaws together cling, my soul to dust of death you bring. Like dogs the wicked compass me, and they have pierced my hand and feet. I now can number all my bones, with looting stares my eyes me grave. My foes among them they divide, and on my row with dice decide. But be not far from me, O Lord. Haste all my strength, give help to me. My soul deliver from the sword, my life from dogs and lions free. Though my sharp horns I merely rent, you have to me your answer sent.
That's Psalm 22:12-21, a description, a very descriptive account of Christ's crucifixion. Okay, the next one we're going to sing is taken out of the old school hymnal, and it's 326, How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours. And I'm sure that all of Christians have felt like this sometimes. Sometimes Christians feel like it's a sign of weakness if they ever admit that they've had tedious and tasteless hours, but John Newton had no problem putting this to pen. How tedious and tasteless the hours, when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim, the fields drive is made to look gay. but when I am happy with him, December's as pleasant as May. His name yields the richest perfume, and sweeter than music his voice. His presence disperses my gloom, and makes all within me rejoice. I should, were he always thus nigh, have nothing to wish or to fear. No mortal so happy as I, my summer would last all the year. Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resign. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with the sense of his love, a palace of toy would appear. If prisons would palaces prove, if Jesus would dwell with me there. Dear Lord, if indeed I am thine, if thou art my son and my song, say why do I languish and pine, and why are my winters so long? Oh, drive these dark clouds from my sky, thy soul cheering presence restore, or take me unto thee on high, where winter and clouds are no more.
Okay, the next one we're going to do is page 325, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. God Has His People, 325.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our heart in prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Okay, let's sing page 106F in the Psalter, Psalm 56. Let's see, 106.
Page what?
I'm sorry, page 56. 56, 106F.
Give him to the nation's power. The haters in command, their foes oppressed them, and they were subdued beneath their hand. How many times delivered them, but rebels still were they. In all their plans so down they went, in sin to pine away. Yet their distresses looked upon, when he had heard their cry, and he remembered for their sake his covenant on high. Then he relented in his grace, and for his mercy's sake, he gave them pity from all those who did them captives take. Save us, O Lord, our gracious God, from heathen lands reclaimed, that we may glory in thy praise and thank thy holy name. Blessed be Jehovah Israel's God, to all eternity. Let all the people say amen, praise to the Lord give ye.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us in this service today. Pray that you would give us your word in a special way, open your word to us, and grant unto us your Holy Spirit, that we might glorify your name in the earth, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there's so much going on in our world, and there's been many, many things that have been said on Facebook that is evidence to me that we're living in the last days. And not just Facebook, all over the news. You go on YouTube, it's pretty evident that we are living in perilous times, and you hear all of the rumors of wars and rumors of wars and rumors of nuclear attacks on the United States and everywhere else. But you know, it's good to know that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. You know, it was quite a long time before I even heard that word sovereign as it related to God. When I was coming up, they would use the word sovereigns relating to kings who had sovereign power over nations. Presidents and prime ministers that had sovereign power over the countries that they were over. But it was very rare to hear anything about the sovereign God. Very rare. In fact, many people, even today, deny the sovereign God. They want to talk about the loving God. They want to talk about the merciful God. They want to talk about the compassionate, long-suffering God. They even will go ahead and talk about omniscient God and omnipresent God. But they don't want to talk about the sovereign God. And this was something that was on my mind yesterday and even yet this morning, again, was what are some things that point to God's sovereignty? What are some things we can look at to describe His sovereignty? Well, if we use the acrostic sovereign, S standing for superior. There is nothing in the world that is more superior than the sovereign God. He's put all things under His feet. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And of course, when we talk about, I remember when I first started studying about the Catholic Church, they had a nun which was called a Mother Superior. Mother Superior. Well, God is superior. He's over all. There's nothing inferior about God. And when we talk about His being superior, you would have to go back to Isaiah, and how would He describe Himself? How does God describe Himself through the prophet Isaiah? Well, let's go back to the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. And He says, I'm sorry, let's go back to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. And we see how God describes Himself. He says, verse 7, "For everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And he says in verse 11, let's go to 10. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Talking about superior God. I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. Verse 15, "I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." He's superior. The next thing we see is that He is omnipotent. And when we think of Him being omnipotent, we think of Him not lacking in any power. He's not lacking in any power. I have heard people in the Arminian camp say, sometimes Jesus doesn't get his prayers answered. I've seen signs out in front of Mennonite houses that say, "Let Jesus into your heart." That is not omnipotence, friend. We don't have to let Jesus do anything if He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. Scripture tells us that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He's not beholding to His creation or to His creatures. He holds all things in His hands. We used to sing that song, "He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the little bitty baby in His hands. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands." Okay, The next letter in the word sovereign is V. So far we've covered superior, omnipotent, victorious. There's never been a time in the history of the world that God has not been victorious. He's always been victorious. He's never failed in a battle. He's never lost a battle. That gets back to His omnipotence and being all powerful, but He is victorious. He's victorious in His creation. He's victorious through His prophets. He's victorious in His healing of people. He's victorious in raising Himself from the dead. We've got Resurrection Sunday coming up. And He was victory over death. And He's also victoriously seated in heaven right now. And He's coming back as a victorious king on a white horse. There's a lot of people that try to show God as being a wimpy little Jesus, a wimpy little long-haired Jesus, a wimpy little feminized Jesus. No. Jesus is not a wimp. Jesus took a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple, and He was victorious. He was not only victorious in death, He was victorious in life. The next letter in sovereign is E. E stands for everlasting. Everlasting. There's no way that Jesus could give anyone everlasting life if He wasn't everlasting. There's no way He could promise eternal life to anyone if He wasn't eternal. Now, there's some people in the United Pentecostal Church that have denied the eternality of Christ.
And they've talked about the, you know, when he was born, he became the Son of God. No. The Trinity has always been. There's people now in the Muslim faith that are trying to deceive the nations, along with people like Rick Warren and these people that are trying, like the Pope Francis, are trying to bring the Muslims and the Catholics together. Let me tell you something, folks. There's irrefutable evidence that shows that there's a linkage between the Muslims and the Catholics. And you know why I know that? Why would Roman Catholic and Pope Francis be trying to get them all together if there wasn't a linkage between them? Give you something to think about. Do you think the time is coming in our nation and in the world where what they call the radical Muslims and the true, quote, true biblical Christians, unquote, are put in the same camp and persecuted for their faith? I think so. The true Christians that won't go along with the New World Order and go along with every religion out there, including Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Pelagianism, Arminianism, Methodism, even now, you know, Pope Francis is saying, well, atheists can go to heaven if they're sincere. Let me tell you something. The blood of Christ, sincerity can never take the place of the blood of Christ and the sovereign God and His sovereign, amazing grace. Okay, the next letter in, so far we've had superior, omnipotent, victorious, everlasting. The next letter is R, which stands for redeeming. Redeeming. There's a song that says, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Muslim religion is not a redemptive religion. It's a religion of kill the infidels. The Buddhist religion is not a redemptive religion. The Hindu religion is not a redemptive religion. Have you ever heard an atheist say, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be redeemed? No. No, but the sovereign God is a redeeming God. That's why He sent His Son. He came to save His people from their sins. Why do we see in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, and by His stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Redemption. And that has a lot in that term, redemption. When I was coming up as a child, I was not taught substitutionary atonement. I wasn't taught that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for many. I wasn't taught that He entered once into the holy place and sat down. I wasn't taught that, you know, He set for Himself apart, sanctified a people for Himself, and chose them in Him before the foundation of the world. I wasn't taught that. Redemption includes the golden chain of salvation. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And whom He did predestinate, He also called. And them He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Redemption. The next letter in sovereign is effectual. Effectual. What does it mean to be effectual? Well, if you think of the word effective, God has never been defective. He's always been effective. You know, we have all these people saying, well, you know, we got to come up with all these solutions to our problems. We got to look at the causes and the effects. Well, God has never been defective. He's always been effectual. Effectual means that he always accomplishes what he sets out to do. He always accomplishes what he sets out to do. And he also has effectually called his people. You remember what happened with little Samuel when he kept hearing someone calling him. And he couldn't figure out where the call was coming from. And finally the prophet told him, you know, it's God calling you. Here am I, Lord. Since next time he calls, say, here am I, Lord. There was a time when all of God's elect, there was a time or there will be a time when all of God's elect will be effectually called. I know that there's certain people out there say they can't remember when they were effectually called. I don't believe that. If you're one of God's elect, I think you're going to have a distinctive memory as to when God called you when he stood before the tomb of Lazarus, he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. There was a time when God brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life. He effectually called us. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Okay, the next letter in the word sovereign is infinite. Infinite. There's a lot of things in the world that are finite. We're living in a throwaway society. If you don't believe me, just go to any dumpster and look inside a dumpster, and you'll see stuff people throw away that you'd say, well, that's perfectly good. Why would they throw that away? And we're also living in a plastic society where things break easily. I remember when I was younger, probably about 10 years old, when Japan started flooding this United States, importing in the United States all of their garbage. We would have tools, and on the tools it would say made in the USA. And I remember my dad used to saying, this is some of that Jap stuff. It's no good. It's junk. There's a lot of things that are finite in our world. They're junk. They wear out. Cars wear out, shoes wear out, clothes wear out, you know. And if you look at the second law of thermodynamics, you'll see that this world is wearing out. And if you look in the mirror, you'll see you're wearing out. If you look at my head, you'll see I'm losing all my hair. And if you look in the mirror, you'll see wrinkles. You'll see aging spots on my face. You'll see things that are not so beautiful. But as it relates to the sovereign God, he's infinite. He's not finite. He's not wearing out. People talk about the old man in the sky or whatever. No. God is not influenced by the curse, because God did not live in a cursed world. Not the complete Trinity. Jesus Christ was impacted by the curse because they drove nails through his hands and they took a spear and pierced his side. They put a crown of thorns on his head. But that's where the resurrection comes in, because he was resurrected and he was glorified. He was glorified. Jesus Christ is infinite. He's not finite. He's never going to wear out, and neither is heaven. How many of you have ever heard people talk about the fact that, you know, that's why you have to uphold the doctrine of reincarnation, because you have to have something continually dying and being reborn again over and over and over and over. God is infinite. He's not finite. Now the next one is just simply G, God. You say, well, why did you put that in the acrostic of sovereign? Because God is God, and we are not. There's a lot of people out there trying to make themselves little gods, like Kenneth Copeland and Paul Crouch before he died was trying to uphold that. Orwell and Richard Roberts and Hagen and all these name it and claim it people. God is God and we are not. We don't have God's attributes. We're certainly not superior. We're certainly not omnipotent. We might have had some victories in our life, but we have failed miserably many times, Mr. Copeland. And I'm sure you have too. I know Paul Crouch failed miserably many times. We're not everlasting, other than in the reality of eternity. Many of the reprobates are going to be in everlasting torment. We're going to be everlasting with God. But these physical bodies are going to die. We certainly are not redeemers. There's a lot of people out there that think they're redeeming other people by their good works. I mean, someone real close to me even said, as it relates to Mother Teresa, well, I haven't done near as many good things as she's done. And now we're finding out Mother Teresa was a fraud. She was a fraud. We certainly aren't effectual. There's many things that we're ineffective in that we do. I've heard people say, well, I certainly wasn't a very effective parent. Or I wasn't a very effective plumber. I wasn't a very effective this or that. I've heard people even talk about, you know, when they've tried to... Have you ever heard people that have tried to plant a garden and they go, I don't have a green thumb. We're not effectual. He is God and we are not. Now the final one is nobility. Nobility. And if you look up the word nobility, you'll find that it's a very interesting word. Nobility not only includes the aspect of royal blood, but it also denotes and connotes the fact that a person of nobility is one who shows ultimate justice. He's without imperfections. And Christ is all righteous. He knew no sin. That's why he could take upon our sin to the cross and be our sin bearer. But yet he was without sin. For he knew no sin. And so he became the perfect sacrifice. He was the ultimate nobility. And he had royal blood flowing through his veins. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the royal blood of Christ. nobility. So we've looked at many different aspects of the sovereign God today. Let us continue to remember that as we go through our life and realize that we are serving an all-powerful, mighty, omnipotent, effectual, redeeming, loving God who has given His life for us and called us and granted us everything that we need. And He's made us fellow heirs with Him. So we have a great future to look forward ahead of us. Do we have a selection? I know that we had why don't we sing 499? 499. Hope Most Precious. Hope most precious in the storms of life's raging sea is an anchor to my soul, speaking peace to me, speaking peace to me of my Lord and King. Hope dispels my sorrow, speaking peace to me. Hope though worthless to the blind is a solid stay. To the trembling child of grace, struggling on his way, toiling every day. To the weary pilgrim, struggling on his way. Hope when unbelief is strong and temptation sore, keeps us ever pressing on toward the blissful shore, toward the blissful shore, where we'll die no more. Hope our guide and compass toward the blissful shore. Hope of heaven's endless climb is a prospect dear, and can never be compared to our sorrows here, to our sorrows here, bleeding pain and care. These cannot compare with endless worries there.
Dear Lord, thank you that we know that we are yours. Your elect little children, elect family and children, Christian up in heaven, Christian. So we thank you what we have done for you, that you've allowed us to do for you as Christians, as under your plan and sovereign will of elect Christian who pray and sometimes see you in heaven. Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you that you have paid it all, and we can take no glory in ourselves, that you have all things in your hands, and that you control even the bounds of our habitation. Help us to give you all the glory and all the credit and all the praise and all things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.